Praise God. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Verse 22, we'll be talking about putting on the new man. Reading from the Amplified Version says, strip yourselves of your former nature. And so we were born again, the old man, the dead man, was changed. Our spirit man was changed. But we talked about our soul and our body not being changed. And so there's a residue. There's something that remains from the old man in our spirit, in our minds, and in our bodies. You understand that? So he says, strip yourselves of your former nature. So, and he's going to tell us how to do that. Put off, this is something you have to do on really a daily basis. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And this is how you put on the new man. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. That's what God wants us to have every day. A fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. So as long as we live, and really every day, we're putting on the new man. The old man's trying to come back. Your spirit can't be changed, but the old nature is come back. And if you allow yourself, you can get rusty. You can allow old things to creep back in. And so putting on the new man, that's not something God does in our lives. You know, His Spirit recreated us, but putting on the new man is something we need to do. And it is a daily thing, and it's going to be something for the rest of our lives. But so we've been talking about being constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so we're here at church today, and if you're engaged, now not everybody that comes to church is engaged, but if you're engaged, meaning you're participating, I mean, today's a good day. We're praising God. We're worshiping. We're giving. We're praying. Fellowshipping with other believers. Encouraging people. Serving. So these are all good things. And that's going to make for, you know, something fresh. Something alive. It'll bring strength to your day. Maybe carry over for several days. But how many know that's not enough? It's not enough to put on the new man just one day of the week. I mean, we need to do it every day. And so that's what we've been talking about. You know, for each one of us, we have to look, you know, talking about 2014, what are you doing on a daily basis to put on the new man? And so renewing the mind involves four things. It involves the Word, but there's four parts of what you do with the Word, at least four parts. I'm not going to go back into the power of God's Word. Talked about that last week. But there's four things we need to do for mind renewal. The first one is to hear the Word. Second thing we do is we talk to others about the Word. The third thing, which I think is a real weakness in the body of Christ, meditating on the Word. And then the fourth thing is to speak the Word. Those four things are involved in mind renewal. Those four things are involved in each one of us putting on the new man. Now let's go through each one of these and talk about each one for a moment here. The first one is feed on the Word continually. Let's look at Mark 4, verse 23. Mark 4. And this is a great chapter, and it talks about the sower sowing the Word and the different types of soil. And we, of course, want to be the one where we're hearing, accepting, acting on the Word, producing 30, 60, 100 fold. But let's read on down in verse 23. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says this, If any man has ears to hear. Now, what's he talking about there? Not talking about physical ears. He's talking about spiritual ears. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening. And that's the thing that we have to do to put on the new man, is we have to hear the word. We have to be engaged. We need to be listening with our hearts. So let him be listening. Let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. And so part of studying the word is not just going through the motions, not just reading something or hearing something. It's being engaged in your spirit. It's letting the word of God penetrate into your heart. And he says that if you give attention to it, more revelation is going to come. And what you put your mind on, what you think on, that's going to produce in something. Now, we're living in an amazing day, and the people and other generations don't have the advantages that we have. I can really understand how we can wrap things up in this world and reach all over 6 billion people because of the opportunity that we have to hear the word. We've got books, devotionals, DVDs, CDs, TV, radio, podcasts, website, our phones, iPads, tablets. So many opportunities to hear and receive the Word of God. Now, I want to let you know, though, that not every scripture that's being read or ministered is life-giving. And so you don't want to be listening to someone that's condemning you or bringing religion or tradition. You want to hear grace messages. You want to hear messages on who you are in Christ. You want to hear messages about the goodness of God. You want to hear messages about the love of God. These are the messages that you feed on that are going to produce the new man. And so I just want you to be aware of that. Now, some things that I'm doing this year, started off the new year, because one of my big goals or resolutions for 2014 is to be spiritually fit. Now, there's other areas, other things I want to do, but number one is to be spiritually fit. Number one is I want to have spiritual renewal. I want to have revival this year. I want to be closer to God. I mean, and I can't be positionally any closer than I already am, but I want to be more sensitive to Him. And so I'm doing some spiritual workouts. So a couple of things I'm doing, I've got a devotional by Rick Renner called Sparkling Gems. And it's got some devotion, something every day, and usually goes over some Greek words and talks about them in depth. And so I've been reading that this year, and I've not made it every particular day, but I'm reading it, and I'm through a good bit already. And so I'm doing that. I'm reading E.W. Kenyon right now. E.W. Kenyon, man, is one of my favorite authors, and he is taking Paul's revelation on who we are in Christ, and he's just taking it to another place. I mean, he just talks about who we are and what we can do in our inheritance. And it's like every word, every sentence is just packed full of nuggets and things. And then I've taken my own challenge, started reading the book of Galatians. Read the book of Galatians this week, and now I'm into the book of Ephesians. And man, I have to tell you, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling spiritually fit. And I'm starting off my year right. And when you're in the Word, and when you're and I'm talking again, I'm not going to tell you what dosage you need, but when you're getting the Word every day, it does bring energy. It brings life. It brings health. It brings strength. It brings power. It affects my prayer time. At prayer on Thursday night here, man, it's just powerful. It's just, you know, so much joy, so much energy. It wasn't hard to pray for an hour. It was easy. No falling asleep, no feeling tired. Man, just energized. The Word produces that in life. And so I'm just going to take you into my study here for a moment, and we're just going to go through Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. Is that okay? Ephesians 2. Now, as we're reading through this, look for the phrases in Christ. Because when he talks about in Christ, he's talking about who I am, who you are, what I have, and what I can do. Now, and so this is just a few verses in Ephesians. Look what it says. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, praise God, God's rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us. Man, he has loved me, great love. He loves me. Even when I was a sinner, he loved me. Even when I was dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Awesome. I'm alive in God. He's forgiven me. He's taken my sins. He's removed them. He's made me alive. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. By grace, you have been saved. I'm saved. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I'm saved. I have eternal life. I'm going to heaven when I die. And while I'm here on the earth, this is my study time here. I mean, you start reading. See, this is not drudgery. This is not boring. This is not duty. This is awesome. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Woo! Hope I didn't wake up the kids. Sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's where I'm seated. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm in Jesus and he's in me. Bible says that I'm joint heirs with Jesus. That's good. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And it's not only when I die is he going to show his grace, his exceeding riches. I mean, he's showing that to me right now. Every day. Every day he wants to grace me. Every day he wants to bless me. Every day he wants to show me his kindness. Every day he wants us to pour out his goodness. See, that's who I am. I'm his son. I'm his child. I'm in his family. He's got an inheritance for me. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. This is something I don't have to earn. It is a gift of God, not of works. I don't have to earn his favor. I don't have to earn his love. I don't have to earn his grace. It's all a free gift. The thing that I need to do today is just receive it. To receive, I mean, Christmas is easy. Receiving gifts, just unwrap the presents. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I'm his workmanship. I'm his, Frank, you don't want to mess with his workmanship. I mean, don't you think, how would you like it if you went through the whole process of creating an automobile and you've gone all, and you, there you have it sitting on the showroom floor and you're the creator of it, and then someone comes in there and starts criticizing it. You think you'd be happy about that? I'm God's workmanship. I'm one of a kind. I'm unique, and you already know that. But he made me. I'm his workmanship. And the purpose of me being created is to do good works. That's what I do. That's who I am. Now, this is just six verses in Ephesians talking about who we are in Christ. What have you been doing? What have you been reading? What have you been watching? What have you been smoking? I mean, what in the world? We could be feeding on this. Talk about being jacked up. Talk about being made alive. Hallelujah. This will give you joy. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I'm in Christ. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings. I am complete in Him. I am His workmanship. That'll change your day. You can't have a bad day when you're feeding on that. See, you got to put on the new man. See, the old man's trying to... And see, the whole world is trying to put that old man back on you. Well, you're a loser. You'll never make it. You'll never come out of this. And then the enemy and other people will bring up your past mistakes. And if you're in, and just the spirit of the world is negative. The spirit of the world is death. The spirit of the world is lack. You can't just sit there day after day and feed on that and take that and expect to walk in the new man. You've got to make a stand. You've got to put on the new man and stand and say, hey, and then when those things come at you, that's not who I am. I know this sickness is trying to attach itself to me, but this new man says, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed 2,000 years ago. And if He says I was healed, if He bore my sicknesses, I'm now in Christ. I'm healed. That's who I am. You know, the enemy's just trying, you're good for nothing. You're a worm. You're a loser. My Bible says, other in Him's scriptures talk about, I'm blameless. I'm blameless. I'm holy. I'm above reproach. Getting ahead of myself. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the same position with the Father that Jesus has. And just like God said to Jesus, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. He says that to me every day. I'm pleased with you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I'm pleased with you. I'm not mad at you. You're forgiven. Come on, hang out in the throne room. You're already seated there. Feeding on this. Feeding on this new man. And the old man's trying to, come back on you. You got to talk. You got to put him down. Put him down for the count, and he's staying down there. He's under your feet. Yes. Hallelujah. Now the second part. Second part is talk with others about the word. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, Amplified says, and these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. Did you catch that? First in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall whet and sharpen them as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, folks, you're going to have to get yourself some crazy faith friends. You're going to have to get some people in your life that are full of God's Word that you can talk to the Word about. Now, I had that when I first got saved. My brother Pat and I, we got saved on the same day. And even though we lived, I was going to school, we were apart from each other. We would talk all the time. And we didn't have cell phones, and we didn't have internet and all those different things. But we got together, we talked on the phone, we talked about the Word. We would go out to, and you know, the Minnesota Waffle House is called Perkins. And we would go out to Perkins late at night, and we'd just talk the Word. What have you been studying? And see, we were so full of the Word, that's what we talked about. But I'm really concerned about this generation today, that we've lost some of that. And really, so what's happening is, because the Word doesn't have the place in our lives like it used to, you know, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks, it's really not of interest to us. But I have people, and I thank God I have Susie, for one. Susie, I mean, 30 years now, and we're still doing it. We still talk the Word. Still talk about revelations. Still get excited. I've got my kids. I've got a bunch of guys here in the church, other ministers that I call. I got people in my life, and I have to initiate it. I've got people in my life that I can talk the Word with. And so I want to encourage you, you make that a goal in 2014, because it's just difficult to grow alone. It's difficult. You need to have people in your life, faith people in your life, that will talk to you about the Word of God and start talking about some of these things about who we are in Christ and start sharing them. And what happens, the Bible says iron sharpens iron, and I can't tell you how many times I've been with people and we start talking the Word, how God just adds revelation. What you've studied, what they've studied, they share their perspective, you share yours, and together it's forming like a stronger, bigger revelation. So make it a point in 2014 that you're going to have people. And I know there's all kind of reasons that we don't, but make it a point to have people to talk to the Word about the Word. All right. Third point, meditating on the Word. Let's go over to Joshua. Joshua 1, verse 8 says this, "The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate." Everybody say meditate. Meditate. "Meditate on it day and night, and you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success." This is critical for the believer, because you are already doing this every day. You are already thinking on things every day. I'm just saying, do what you're already doing and add the Word. On purpose, meditate the Word. Now, the word meditate means to let something roll around in your mind, think on it, fix your mind upon it. It means to chew on. It means to, like a cow chews on its cud. Now, I've done some extensive studies on cows these last few days. Very fascinating how a cow chews its cud. You want to hear about it? So I'm comparing us now to cows. We've got sheep. We've got cows. We got goats. We got wolves. We got all kind of animals here. What kind of animal are you? Susie's being bad over here. Well, maybe that's good. Okay. All right. Did you know that the cow has four parts to his stomach? Four parts to his stomach. And so when he chews his food, he, like most of it, he kind of just gobbles it and doesn't really chew it. And so what happens, the solid part goes to the first chamber, of the stomach. The liquid goes to the second chamber. Now, in the first chamber, it's breaking down this solid food, and after a period of time, the cow is going to regurgitate it back up into his mouth and chew on some more. So that's why they say the cow is chewing his cud. Then he chews on it, then it'll go to the next second chamber and then go through the digestive process. A cow can have up to 50 gallons of food in that first chamber. And so he can chew his cud 8 hours in a day. Now, I think what's happening in the body of Christ, we've got 50 messages stored up in our first spiritual stomach, chamber of our first, 50, 100, 200 messages sitting in there, and we haven't regurgitated it yet. You need to regurgitate, Eddie. And pull it back up and then chew on it some more. Now, there is some nutrition and some benefit in the first hearing, but the better benefit is when you chew on it, when you meditate on it, and you take the word that you've heard or studied and meditate and think on it and let it roll around in your mind during the day. Are y'all getting this? So your assignment for this week is to chew on the cud. It's to regurgitate first. Regurgitate and then chew on the cud. Chew on what you've been hearing and feed on it during the day. And that's going to help you. That's going to change your day. Because a lot of the things we're thinking on is not good. A lot of the things we're thinking on produces nothing. A lot of the things we're thinking on brings us down. I mean, if we have to keep coming in, dragging in on Sunday or Wednesday to, and we call it a midweek boost, and we do, but I mean, we should have something when we come into service. It shouldn't be every time we're coming in, we've gotten so low and we're just kind of dragging to come in, you know? We should have some life, some energy. And see, when you've got the word coming in and you're, you know, meditating on it and thinking on it, I mean, then when the enemy brings his thoughts and brings his fiery darts, you recognize that they're not from God. And what do? You cast it down. You cast it, say, no, I'm not accepting that. I'm not going down that route of lack. I'm not going down that route of poverty today. I'm not going down that route of feeling inadequate, or I'm not enough, or all these different things. I'm not doing that today, because those meditating on those things, what do they do? On past mistakes, have you ever been there? Meditating on mistakes you made 30 years ago? How is that benefiting you? No, I'm not going to meditate on my past mistakes because I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven, and God's taken my sin and he's remitted it. That means he's erased it. So he's got no record of my sin. And so if he's got no record of my sin, why am I thinking on it? I'm going to focus on the fact today that I'm forgiven, that I'm blameless, that I'm holy, I'm his son. Y'all doing okay? I said, really, Lord, do we have to go over this today? And he said, yes. He did. He said, you need to do it. So here we go. Let's go over to Romans 10. Talking about confessing the word. We can't lose our love for the word. And I just think the spirit of the world is just so strong. And the enemy is doing all he can to get us off the word and to water it down and to all these different things. And we just can't allow that. We got to get back to the basics. Get back to the basics. And, you know, I know sometimes we're just tired of hearing some of these messages. But you know what? I eat eggs a lot. I'm not tired of them. I still eat them. And I have kashi. Kashi, when I first started eating, was like cardboard. But now I love my kashi. Man, I got to have my cardboard today. I mean, it is so good. I eat it every day. I'm not bored with it. I said, oh, boy, my kashi is so unexciting today. Look at it. Just, you know, little pieces of cardboard here. It's just so... No, I eat it and I enjoy it and it helps me and feeds my body. And I just think today that people, we've gotten bored with the Word. We've gotten bored with the basics. You know, the teams that succeed in football and baseball or any of these other sports are the teams that are strong in the fundamentals. The basic things. You've got to hear it and think on it over and over and over until you're proficient in each one of the basics. Now, thank God for the new revelations. We want to hear all those things. I mean, I was listening to a guy the other day on TV, and he was talking, and the crowd was just going wild, and they were crying, and he wasn't saying anything. I'm going, what are these guys hearing? There's nothing there. There's no word there. He's just making all this up. And he's promising things that aren't even in the Word. So get back to the basics. You stir yourself up. You stir yourself up. You know what it's like to be excited about the Word. You know what it's like. You stir yourself. You start getting engaged again. Start coming to church. And I know many of you are, but I mean, I'm just talking to a few of us here. Start coming to church with your spirit open to God. Start coming to church expecting revelation. And then you can be talking about whatever. I mean, but God, see, when your spirit is sensitive, it's open to God, the Word's being preached, answers will come. Revelation will come. He'll show you how to handle certain situations. But see, that's you. I can't make you do that. That's something you got to be engaged. We had men's Mighty Men yesterday, and we had fellowship, and I mean, it was an amazing time. I walked out of there so encouraged. Rick shared a little bit from the Word, and then we had a discussion and fellowship time. I mean, wasn't it good, Rick? Well, I mean, I was nourished. I was encouraged. I was strengthened. Talking about who we are in Christ, who we are as men. Talking about relationships and who God has made us and how God's love has changed us and that love is flowing through us. I mean, it was well worth my time. So I'm going to do things like that. Why? Because I want to fellowship with other believers. I want to talk the Word. I want to grow. We need each other. I'm not going to be sloppy. One of the biggest commitments I have this year is to be spiritually fit. To be spiritually strong. Why? Because I got things to do this year. Places to go, things we're going to do, things that God has for us. But it's going to strengthen you. You're going to be a better mate. You're going to be a better son or daughter. You're going to be a better student. You're going to be a better whatever. When this is all working, when spirit, soul, and body are working together, feed your spirit. Now let's talk about confessing the Word. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Verse 8, Amplified says this, but what does it say? The Word, God's message in Christ. Did you get that? God's message in Christ is near you, on your lips, and in your heart. That is the Word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. But because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in and relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith, and confirms his salvation. Confirms his salvation. Now, if I want to go to a hotel, we'll say Charlotte, they've got this great hotel there, and I look online and I look at all the benefits and all the features, and man, I'm going to stay there. I'm going to stay at that hotel. Boy, look at all the benefits, and this is what I could be doing, and all of that. It's going to be great. And I keep on talking, but if I never call them and talk to them and get the confirmation, I'll never reserve my spot. When you confess the Word of God, you confirm what you're confessing and you make it real in your life. That's what you did when you were born again, right? You believe the Word, then you confessed it. It confirmed that salvation. It made it yours. Now, it's just not salvation. You do that with every area. And so I'm suggesting you take these who you are in Christ scriptures and start confessing them. Start speaking them. Start saying them. And your spirit, man, just knows to believe. And when you confess, it may not be instantaneous, but you keep on confessing it, keep on saying it, your world is going to line up with your words. You catch that? Let's do some confessions. Let's say this with me. Now just put your heart into this. Say, I am of God and have overcome Satan. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He always causes me to triumph. He has made me more than a conqueror. I am a world overcomer. I have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed me from poverty. Just pay attention. Put something into this. Christ has redeemed me from sickness. Christ has redeemed me from spiritual death. There is no lack in my life. For my God supplies all of my needs. According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I, having the gift of righteousness, do reign as a king in this life. By Jesus Christ. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his children. And Abraham's blessings are mine. Go read Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. It kind of gives you a summary of the blessings. Talks about being blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out, being the head and not the tail. Enemies coming at you one way, be defeated before you seven ways. You shall lend to many nations and you shall not borrow. I mean, there's some good stuff in there. That's who you are. You're the seed of Abraham. And see, what you do is with your confession is you go into the Word and you take those words off the pages and you put it in your heart and then you release it by your faith. You release it with your words and you make those words a reality in your world. Your words will change your world. The world, your life, has to line up. It's a spiritual principle. Has to line up with your words. It has to. Couple more here. I am a new creation in Christ.
I am His workmanship.
Now point to your neighbor and say, you're God's workmanship. And so when we have that revelation, I mean, we treat each other differently when we know, Nate, you're His workmanship. I'm going to treat you right. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Come on. Therefore, I have the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God is formed within me. I have put off the old man and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him who created me. I receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. I am not conformed to this world, but I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. My mind is renewed by the Word of God. Now, this last confession, I mean, I absolutely love it. And say it all. I mean, you'll have yours. This is just one of mine. I mean, I just love this. And it just speaks to me all the time. Say this. I have strength for all things in Christ.
I have strength for all things in Christ.
Who empowers me? I am ready for anything.
I am ready for anything.
And equal to anything.
And equal to anything.
Through Him.
Through Him.
Who infuses inner strength into me.
Who infuses inner strength into me.
I am self-sufficient.
I am self-sufficient.
In Christ's sufficiency.
In Christ's sufficiency.
Now stand up for a moment.